Okay, and here we go, hour number three. Professor Eric Carlstrom is back tonight, and he's a remarkable man for many different reasons, and I know you regular listeners already appreciate who he is. We're going to talk about some things tonight that have to do with global power. He is actually living in a very interesting location, Crestone, Colorado, where Maurice Strong moved there. I'm not sure if it was something that was envisioned to be much bigger than it is now, or if it got to be as big as it was planned, but there's still people there, very powerful people in Crestone, and they're connected to the matrix of domination of this planet. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Yeah, greetings, Jeff. It's great to be with you, and yeah, Crestone is a very, very interesting and unique place. It's also very beautiful, and I bought three lots here for quite a reasonable price back in
three
the 90s.
Three lots, you say? Three lots?
Three half-acre lots for I think, about $2,000 each.
Right.
A pretty good deal, and that was with power hookups and water hookups. Back in 94, built my house in 2001 as an owner builder, and we still only have about 2,000 people. But like you say, we have had the hoi polloi, the world power elite, come through over time. You know, the Aspen Institute, which is, according to Dr. John Coleman, the American branch of the Illuminati, or at least one, was stationed for a while, but then they found it a little too rigorous for their comfort. We have mosquitoes in the summer, and we're a long way from a hospital, about an hour. And it's just kind of not a cush life for the billionaire set. So,
That was why I said what I said. I mean, if they had built a bigger infrastructure back in the day, you know, hospital, big facilities and so forth, it would have grown a lot more. And that's probably a blessing that it didn't. But I just think it was one of those things that could have been much physically more imposing than it is. It's now just a beautiful portrait. So that's good.
Well, I'll tell you a little piece of Crestone lore that I got second, third hand. And of course, there are many, many such pieces of lore that I could pass on that are in my series on this subject called Is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the Vatican City of the New World Order? And before I pass on, Laura, I will just pass on to your listeners that if they go to the 911 New World Order website of mine, or just 911nwo.com, and they look at the subheadings and they click on New World Religion, they will see a series of articles that I have written since I retired from 30 years teaching university geography. I started in 2011, and I'm just really still working on it. I've got 13 major parts and 255 appendices. And what I found, Jeff, is actually kind of stimulating for an academic. And that is, you know, you take a tough problem, you take something you don't know, you apply a rigorous kind of research approach to it, and by golly, you come up with answers. And so I was, as soon as I retired, I got into this problem and began writing these articles and posting them on this website. And the little piece of lore, so we have been talking about the parts, parts 1, 2, 3, that are under my name in your left column there, the UN, Maurice Strong, Crestone Baca, Colorado, and the New World Religion is part one. The Rockefeller and Rothschild Empires, the Freemasons, and the Birth of the Illuminati is part two. Part three, the Illuminati and Freemasonic Structure, Origins and Pharisaism, Kabbalah, Synagogue of Satan, and the Connections to the New Age Plan is part three. Okay, back to the, and I'd like to continue the discussion in this area and move into part four tonight if we can. And that's the Jewish controllers and their destructive mission. And but here's, and of course, Maurice Strong is reported to be a Jew by, but although he kind of his disguise was he was a Baha'i, but that's a very Masonic religion. But anyway, the little bit of lore I wanted to pass on in the regard to the mystery of Crestone Baca. Supposedly there was a very sweet gal from the Southeast, you know, where they speak with that nice accent. And yeah. she was hired to be his secretary, and he had her out on what we call the junction of our local T road with Highway 17, which is 15 miles from Crestone. There's a one road in, one road out, and it was a little round pavilion type building, and she was selling real estate in the Baca, which is the subdivision here. And the
so this is Maurice. Excuse me. Hold on. This is Maurice Strong's personal secretary.
Yes. And okay. he owned the Baca Ranch here, which was 12 square miles, and through that tried to export hopefully trillions of dollars worth of water from the San Luis Valley aquifer to Denver. Yeah. That plan didn't pan out, as we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
But the savior of the planet, also sometimes called the father of America's destruction, also the guy who wrote Agenda 21, supposedly UN Agenda 21, also supposedly the father of climate change, who by the way, dropped out of school at the age of 14, who, by the way, was very, very close with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. So, you know, I started to, what's going on here? But the piece of lore that I'll pass on, this is third hand, came to me from a guy that I know here who knew that secretary, and she told him that he told her, instructed her when she was selling real estate out there on the corner of the T Road and Highway 17, we want you to look like you're selling real estate, but we don't really want people to come. And that's been one of the kind of provocative little mysteries. Okay, why do they want to keep this small? Well, this I think has a unique place in, you know, the formation of the New World Religion, and I think as we've mentioned, I think it also has is being used and has been used for military mind control operations, extension of MK Ultra type things. How do we kind of capture enlightenment, for instance, or different religious experiences by by technical means, EEG and MEG and other forms of remote, non-invasive brain assessments. And that's the sort of thing that is going on here, and I suspect has been going on here a long time. But there's many, many different things going on here, and that's why I've been so interested, and that's why I've written so much. So, you know, in our discussions, I can only kind of, give a little tidbits here and there, but...
May I ask a question before we jump into this, Eric? I've had Father Paul Kramer on the program twice a month for well over a year, year and a half, I don't know, a long time. And we've learned a lot about the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican. The current pope is a fraud. He's called the anti-pope or an anti-pope by many. The church is now embracing the LGBTQ issue. They're inviting these people to come to special events in the Vatican. They've blessed same-sex marriages. This Pope Bergoglio now and his handler named, what the hell's his name? Fernandez. They're leading the Catholic Church, 1.3 billion people, into what I suspect is the basic outline and shape and guise of this new world religion. It's a church shift. It's a major shift of the Catholic Church, is what's planned, to turn the Catholic Church into a church of nature. That's going to be the guise that they're going to hide behind. But in all reality, it's turning it into a degenerate, sickening shadow of its former self. So does the New World Religion, as you see it, fit into what is obviously going on with the Catholic Church, the pontiff and all that? I mean, they held Benedict the 16th prisoner for the last 9 years of his life. They made him step down so Bergoglio could come in there now. And they got this guy Fernandez. Watch out for him. But they're changing the Catholic Church in major ways. And it may be into that formation, that configuration of what you're talking about. Just wanted to put that out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this you know, what has been long considered the one true church, especially by the Catholics, has been modified beyond recognition. Following, you know, Vatican II in the early 1960s, which had a lot of Jewish influence to so that the Catholic Church would now recognize them as the elder brothers, no longer as the Antichrist people who crucified Jesus Christ. They're now the elder brothers in the faith.
The elder brothers, okay.
Yeah, and this is very, I saw this with my friends, the Carmelite Catholics here in Crestone, who came first here in the mid-80s, and have just recently kind of sold their facilities and dissolved their retreat center here. They still have a retreat center in Ireland. I have great affection for the Catholics because of this wonderful group. But looking back, Jeff, I realized how very New Age and progressive they were. They were mixed male and female, which, of course, is unheard of until after Vatican II. Father William himself was a good friend of Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who was very influential in Vatican II to get these changes institutionalized.
And yeah, I remember that name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I think, made him acceptable to the New World Order people who always envisioned that Crestone Baca would be this melting pot where the religions would merge and fuse into kind of a Masonic, satanic religion. With the Catholics, of course, you know, that change it. But I wanted to just mention that, you know, based on some of the comments of Gerald just recently and yourself, and I think it's really great that you're doing this series with Father Paul Kramer, but I know there's some real Catholics out there. Archbishop Vigano is the hero. And here's a couple quotes from some of his recent, he's in hiding, his recent YouTubes. Once again, the deep church and the deep state work together in unison. We had Henry Kissinger overseeing the Catholic Church from 2007, you know, as a liaison for the New World Order and the United States to mold it uh-huh. towards this Gaia religion, which is you worship this feminine deity.
That's
instead of God, you know. And Gaia, of course, is the earth goddess in Greek mythology. And James Lovelock, the British scientist who was looking at the composition of atmospheres like on Mars and things like that, he wrote a book called The Gaia Hypothesis, you know, which says that the Gaia is this almost spirit which maintains conditions ideal for life on Earth. He got real radical, but that's another story. Going back to Archbishop Vigano, he says, we know the plan to infiltrate the church with fifth columns of the enemy dates back to the 19th century. And here's why he says that. There was a letter recovered from the Masonic Lodge, the Alta Vendita, in 1859 that said, and it was from one lodge to the next, and of course the Masons are the Gentile front, Gentile Jewish front for Judaism. The Pope, whoever he is, will never come to the secret societies. It is up to the secret societies to take the first step toward the church with the aim of conquering both of them. The task we are going to undertake is not the work of a day or of a month or of a year. It may last several years, perhaps a century. But in our ranks, the soldier dies and the struggle goes on. And then it says, you wish to establish the reign of the chosen ones on the throne of the prostitute of Babylon. Let the clergy march under your standard, always believing that they are marching under the banner of the apostolic keys. This reputation will put access to our doctrines into the midst of the young clergy, as well as deeply into the monasteries. In a few years, by the force of things, this young clergy will have overrun all the functions. They will be called to choose the pontiff who should reign. In other words, since then, at least 1859, the Catholic Church has been deeply penetrated and infiltrated by the Masonic lodges, and I would say Judaism. And if we go to the Jewish Talmud, it's okay to have sex with a three-year-old girl or less or more or whatever, or an eight-year-old boy or less or more.
And all true. It's all there in writing. It's all there.
Yeah, it's all. If we were to read, and I've got it in my series. I mean, if Americans read my series for crying out loud, this would be a different world, because then they would understand what's going on. I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn. I was brought up in a time when you're not supposed to do that. But there is so much critical information in this series. People, please look at it. And if you don't, and of course, I've got bibliographies at the end of each article that reference what I'm saying, and I quote widely from a number of these references. So, you know, actually my writing in this is probably less than half. Mostly it's quotes. So I'm stringing together information. And so, yeah, that kind of addresses your question. The Catholic Church is supposed to be, but see, they've changed it from the inside, so it's no longer the Catholic Church. It's now Judaism reconstituted because Judaism, which is Satanism, as we will discover, the worship of the Holy Serpent, is going to rule the earth. And let me just... I don't know if you've seen this book by Tex Mars, our friend Tex Mars. It's called Holy Serpent of the Jews, the Rabbi's Secret Plan for Satan, whom they worship, to crush their enemies and vault the Jews to global dominion. So there is so much information that supports this hypothesis that I'll start with, if you don't mind, I'll start with a little, I go through so many quotes here in my part four, which is what is it called? It's called the Jewish Controllers and Their Destructive Mission. So I'm saying, okay.
You know, one thing, Eric, you know what's interesting? And this is a little trivial aside, but hasn't anyone noticed that the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy wears the same little hats that the Jews rabbis wear and the other Jews?
Absolutely.
They wear
Absolutely.
Yarmulkes. What the hell? Why don't people? Anyway, it's obvious.
Yeah, there's a whole argument there. Of course, the three different branches of Christianity would be Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, which would go right back to the time of Christ. And then in the third century, the Constantine, the Roman Emperor, the Catholic Church was formed, and there's a lot of argument to be said that this was kind of a compromise between the pagan and the Christian. And then, of course, when Martin Luther came along in the 1400s, 1500s, the Protestant Reformation occurred, and then the Jesuit response to that was actually run by Murano Jews, who are Alumbrados, which is the early Illuminati, which are Satanists. What's the guy's name? He's an Alumbrado. The guy that founded the Society of Jesus is Ignatius Loyola. And
that's the guy. Loyola University in L.A. They had Loyola High School in L.A. And I know they're all over.
Okay, he's a Murano Jew, which means he's a Jew, but he's pretending to be a Catholic. And there's so many of those, you know. And this was a huge strategy of the Frankist and the Zabbatai Zevi sects.
Yes.
Because Zabbatai Zevi, who was supposed to be the Messiah coming back, I think back in the 1400s, was told to perform a miracle by some Turkish, emperor or whatever, and he couldn't. And so then the emperor said, okay, well, I'm going to kill you or you convert to Muslim. So he converted. And then Jacob Frank, who was his successor, he also advocated converting to Catholicism. So we've had such incredible infiltration of the Catholic Church by the Jews that when people rightly criticize the pedophilia activity by the Roman Catholic Church, they rarely recognize or acknowledge that the Catholic Church has been completely infiltrated by Satan's kids, who are the serpent people. And this is where I'm going with this tonight. But they're different. They're aliens. They're not like us. They're a collective. I would say they're in Satan's hive mind. And what they want to do is they want to extend that to everybody. And with the technology available, with the neural nets and the hive mind that they're actually working on, and of course they want to enslave and genocide the rest of us. As Amalek, so as our good friend Dr. Lorraine Day says, right on the back of her book, there's Henry Kissinger being quoted, German Jew, Illuminati, operative agentur, saying it's a war between the Jews and the non-Jews. You think it's a war with Russia. You think it's a war with China. You think it's a war with, you know, Saddam Hussein. No, it's a war between the Jews and the non-Jews. It's a spiritual war. The Jews worship Satan. Here's how Tex Mar starts his book. And this is the Jews, a great people, a priestly people on a global scale, question mark. Tex Mar, by the way, is one of my heroes. This man spent his whole life studying Bible prophecy and geopolitics, and he was a military man. He actually taught courses in World War III at
Military intelligence. Yeah.
Military intelligence, biblical prophecy, and geopolitics. And brilliant, and he gave so many brilliant programs on power of prophecy. I feel like a very junior partner to Tex in the effort to bring the truth to the world. And by the way, I want to thank you. It's so refreshing to have a platform where people can say the truth as they discover it. So anyway, sure. Here's what Tex...
By the way, if I might say one thing to that, of all the people I've known, and I've known, been blessed to know some wonderful people, none more remarkable than Tex. And to have lost Tex was a big loss, just like losing Jim Mars. They were not related, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Two really wonderful people and very good friends, and all of their programs are in the archives. And I would urge you to listen to any of Tex Mar's programs for material that just come to life. He dialed it in and he put it in his books. And that man knew so much, it was overwhelming to even be around him sometimes. He was amazing. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he studied the Illuminati so thoroughly, you know, and how the Illuminati...
He had them down. He nailed them. He had them absolutely assayed.
So many programs. I encourage your listeners to just go on YouTube and find these old Tex Mar's Power Prophecy programs on the Illuminati. He'll give you so much detail, historical detail.
Yeah.
This is not, this is conspiracy theory. This is history. And this brought along the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution and the Communist Revolution, which we are now undergoing in the United States. And this is all, as you say, scripted, and it's by the same people who are demonically possessed. And Tex would make the point that the same demonic spirits keep coming back and possessing different people, and they just keep getting more demonic. So this was a truly remarkable man. But so going back to just, I give a whole bunch of quotes in my part four here, and a whole bunch of resources, books that I'm quoting from.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I'm not exactly making this stuff up. And I say, I have come to the conclusion that Jews are the world's controllers independently thrice in three separate empirical investigations. I'm not predisposed to this conclusion through racial or religious prejudice. In fact, I am surprised and saddened by this conclusion. But an honest researcher must follow the truth wherever it leads. In the first case, my research into the origins of 9/11 produced overwhelming evidence that 9/11 was one in a long series of false flag synthetic terror attacks that were orchestrated and covered up, at least in large part, and you could say predominantly, by international Jewry, a.k.a. the shadow government. And then I give a quote, Fuerza's Masters of Deception, Zionism, 9/11 and the War on Terror hoax. Secondly, this investigation into the New Age, New World religion leads me again to identify the same perpetrators, and then I spell it out, perpetrators, as in traitors, capital letters.
Correct.
Thirdly, my investigation into global organized gang stalking in my Gang Stalking Mind Control Cults.com website points to the same perpetrators, as in traitors. In fact, this conclusion has real historical legs. If one is willing to wade through old, obscure, and hard-to-obtain books, one finds that this war of Jew against Gentile, in other words, all non-Jews, and by the way, Gentile means the nations. So it's Jews against the nations. That's why they want to dissolve the nations into this, you know, Jewish utopia, one world government, one world religion with them as gods and everybody else, either genocided, as we're seeing in the Middle East now, or else enslaved technocratically, etc. And particularly the war between the Jew and the Catholic. This E. Michael Jones has written a great book on the Jewish revolutionary spirit and its impact on history. It's like 1,200 pages, full of information. And he's a Catholic. And there's a long tradition of war between the Jews and the Catholics. And the Jews have gotten the upper hand now, but that doesn't mean that, in fact, I think Pope Paul II and Bergliosi are Jews, crypto-Jews, secret Jews. But this war between Jew and Catholic has waged on for over 2,000 years, and Jones documents that. Historically, Jews have always and everywhere formed a state within a state in each country they have inhabited, and they inhabit all countries. As Henry Ford, 1920, stated in The International Jew, the World's Foremost Problem, the Protocols of Zion do not regard the dispersal of the Jews abroad upon the face of the earth as a calamity, but as a providential arrangement by which the world plan can more certainly be executed, as we see in these words of the 11th protocol: God gave us, his chosen people, as a blessing, the dispersal, and this which has appeared to all to be our weakness has been our whole strength. It has now brought us to the threshold of universal rule. My point here is that I've gone down these rabbit holes, and I've gone down the 9/11 rabbit hole really deeply since 9/11, and I got this whole website to show for it. I've gone down the gang stalking web. I realized I was being stalked in 2013, incidentally, about a year after I wrote these articles. I wonder if there's a connection. And, of course, I find the same perpetrators, and then also in the New Age movement. And going back to Tex Mars, he's written at least three books on the New Age movement, and he came to the conclusion that all these wacky New Age movements, which, of course, trace back to Theosophy with Helena Blavatsky, who's a Ukrainian Jew, by the way, and intelligence operative, have their basis in the Jewish Kabbalah, which is their system of black magic, most satanic black magic in the world, which derived from their quote-unquote captivity in Babylon, and which has spread around the world now. And there are many, many Kabbalists. You see them wearing the little red string around their wrist and stuff, you know. And this is magic, and this is black magic, and this is Satanism. And that's the basis of Masonry. All the degrees are based on the Jewish Kabbalah. And the top degrees after the Council of Wilhelmsbad in 1782 were captured by the Jews, by the Illuminati. The Illuminati is a Jewish secret society. So perhaps, I'm sure you've heard this story, Jeff, but again, the providence of God, if you interpret it that way, as most Christians would, there was a courier coming out of an Illuminati meeting, secret meeting, Bavarian Illuminati, founded in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, with, Amschel Meyer Bauer, who later changed his name to Rothschild. And so they had a plan to take over Europe and impose the rule of Satan and create these gigantic revolutions. So it was written down, the courier was struck by lightning, and that's considered an act of God by many. And then the Bavarian government recovered these documents, quite thick documents, and they published them and gave them to local governments, thus limiting the scope of the French Revolution, which was a bloodbath of, according to texts, maybe 20 million people killed there in 1789 and following years. And especially, you know, the monarchy, they wanted to get rid of the monarchy, who were Christian. And of course, the clergy, all Christians, going after the Catholics big time. And then, of course, the same people for the same purposes orchestrate the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 and onward, and killed 66 million white Christians, according to Alexander.
Where do we come up with that usage of 66? Do we know?
Well, as I said, it was Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, which throws out that figure. I think that you can find other figures, higher and lower. Of course, this would include the Holodomor, the death by starvation. Holodomor, however you pronounce
Holodomor.
The Holodomor. And I think that the same forces are using the same strategies to impose a cultural revolution Marxist revolution. Marx was a Jew, his real name Mordecai Levi. He was born as a Jew and then wrote the Communist Manifesto, of course, and was a Satanist, and he wrote poems about his Satanism. But communism, according to Rabbi Stephen Weiss, some call it communism, I call it Judaism. So Zionism, communism, coming out of the same place. And this point is brought out with the controversy of Zion by this brilliant reporter named Douglas Reed out of Britain. And I've got some great quotes about that, about how in the same year, 1917, the Zionists made huge triumphs, just as the communists made triumphs. It's just that we're in different hats all the time, you know. And that brings up this quote from Major General Count Sherep Spiridovich, The Secret World Government or the Hidden Hand, written in 1926. It is the Jews. Now, see, this is interesting in regard to my three independent studies. It is the Jews who are the secret inner council of the principal organized horrendous movements at work in the world with which organized government has to contend. One, Grand Orient Freemasonry Center in Paris. Two, Theosophy, that's Alan Blavatsky, the New Age movement, with its innumerable manifestations, that's on based on the Kabbalah. Number three, nationalism of an aggressive kind, now represented by Pan-Germanism. Four, international finance. Five, social revolution. And, this is Major General Count Sherep Spiridovich's book, The Secret World Government or the Hidden Hand. It's a small book, but it's well worth getting. It helps you... it helps you understand history. If you don't understand this stuff, you don't understand history, in my opinion. Here's what another guy says. I guess you pronounce this Leon Murin, Frank McConnery, Synagogue de Satan, 1893. See, this, when you get into this, I mean, it goes way back to the time of Christ and actually before. He says, history will not fail to recount one day that all revolutions of the past centuries have their origin in the Masonic sect, under the supreme direction of the Jews. Those who enter into the lodge participate knowingly or unwittingly in the war of the modern synagogue against the thrones and altars of our countries. Okay, that's from 1893. So like I say, this conclusion, we can call it a hypothesis, we can call it a theory. There is so much evidence to support this interpretation of...
I think your points are all absolutely spot on. And I do think that a lot of people 100 years ago understood who and what was at least jockeying to take total control of the planet. That was clear 150 years ago. And then you have Theodor Herzl in the 1880s who quantified Zionism. Look, the enemy was well known. This is not new. They've been at this planning a long time. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And another book that I have enjoyed is by this classic scholar, speaking of history, Revelo P. Oliver, who was a classic professor at University of Illinois. It's a short book called The Jewish Strategy. And it's quite interesting. This guy is an atheist, so he looks at things through that lens. So he's wondering how this race or pseudo race or whatever, can function this way and remain separate all these generations and then try to take down every country that they infiltrate. He's trying to understand this phenomena. And in chapter 80, he has conspiracy or instinct ? Of course, he's an atheist, so he believes in Darwinism, natural selection. He says the great mass of Jews seem to be almost without exception under the tight control and discipline of their fairly numerous leaders, who could in turn be equally subject to the orders of a supreme and secret directorate, which plans and directs a conscious strategy as set forth in the famous protocols. And then he said, it is a pernicious and perhaps fatal error characteristic of our race to assume that other races have approximately the same nature as ours. So that argument against a conscious and concerted conspiracy must be disregarded. The alternative to that theory, so far as I can see, can only be a hypothesis that Jews are directed by instinct, at least to a large extent. They may represent a complex and highly advanced form of the biological phenomenon of which a simple manifestation is seen in mammals that hunt in packs or bands. Think gang stalking now. As is well known, wolves and African wild dogs, for example, hunt in organized packs and stalk and bring down their game by a kind of strategy that is carried out by the pack as a unit, but with each individual in it having a definite function and adapting himself to the needs of a specific situation. This activity we attribute to instincts operating entirely below the level of real consciousness. And then he goes on to say, it is entirely possible, therefore, that a species could have been formed, he's suggesting there are different species, could have been formed by biological selection that automatically preys on our species as a parasitic parasite, as instinctively as wolves prey on caribou, although, of course, with much greater cunning and versatility. I really, you know, of course, he writes like a scholar. But he makes some very interesting observations. Like I said earlier, I think it's a different, I think it's a spiritual phenomenon. I think the Jews are connected by their, it's like the spirit of God is a reality, and God is a reality. Satan is a reality, and he has his people, and these are his people. And as Tex points out in his book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews, you know, this is what they worship. They worship Satan. And this of course,
I have that book. And one thing about Tex's books I really like is he put them out 8.5 by 11 format a lot of the time. They were like a phone book. They were big books. And loaded with information. The man was just a machine, a genius researcher and communicator. He was gifted, beyond gifted with that. Great man.
Yes, he truly was. Like I say, he's also one of my heroes.
You couldn't pick a better one. No.
Yeah. Because his vision was so broad, and he kept it in the context of his Christian faith. And it was in that context that he was able to confront the very, very dark side of what's going on spiritually. And he does talk about his encounter with demon spirits, incorporeal, disembodied, as well as embodied. In other words, people who are actually possessed and visions of demons in his house at different times. So he was attacked, and this is what happens when you stand up against these people, because they Kabbalah is all about magic, and you know, curses, and so this group of people has been called a fossil people throughout history, because they've remained separate, they've maintained tight control over their people, again, by their structures, with rabbis pretty close to the top, and I think Satan at the very top, and of course the Rothschilds are the king of the Jews. And you know, the lore is that even the Rothschilds, who are worth, of course, many, many trillions, they could pay off the U.S. debt, I believe, with a check. They supposedly, when they get together for big meetings,
here's the funny part about that statement you just made. To whom do we owe the debt? The Rothschild central banking system.
That's right. Yes, so when you say this is all scripted, of course, these people would have an inordinate amount of influence over that script, because they are controlling people at the financial level. But the story I was going to tell is that you read, and of course I cannot verify this, that when they have their big dinner parties or meetings or whatever at these big tables, they leave an empty chair for Satan in case he wants to show up. So this is an entirely satanic organization, and they have entirely satanic goals of creating a Jewish utopia in just like Benny Gantz and Jared Kushner say, hey, there's going to be beautiful land. In fact, Benny Gantz has already bought his plot in Gaza. And of course, he's the former head of the IDF, I believe. So as far as the Jews goes, the Palestinians and the rest of us are just Amalek. And so, I think it's what is Enoch. In Enoch, they say, "Well, kill every sheep, kill every cow, kill every woman, kill every baby." They're Amalek. Well, Amalek is non-Jews. It's Goyim. It's beasts. It's
That's how it works. Please don't forget one other thing about all this, that primary numbers of people who identify as being Jewish, the primary number of Jews came from the Ashkenazi Empire, the Khazarian Empire. Eastern Europeans adopted Judaism in the 600s, and that's the residue that has proliferated into this incredible cancer that has taken charge of the planet. They own it. These aren't the ethnic, DNA ethnic, biblical Jews. These are primarily the Ashkenazim from the Khazar Empire that failed, and they all fled to Eastern Europe and began spreading from there. They took Judaism with them. And now look what they've made of it. It's true.
Well, yeah, there's a quote the text would use from the Bible about how Jesus was condemning the Pharisees, of course, the leaders of the Jews, and saying, you know, you compass the entire earth to get a new convert, and you make him twice the child of hell as yourselves. So he was condemning the Pharisees and the Jews at that time as being the sons and daughters of Satan. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and his lusts ye will do. Yeah. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies.
And the Khazars picked it up and ran with it.
Yeah, and they became even worse. And then, of course, the Sabbatai Zevi and the Frankists were right there with, according to Barbara Aho, who's written about this, she calls the Babylon the Great, is that Jewish or Catholic? And I think she comes up with the conclusion that it's Jewish, but she says that they, I just lost where it was going to go. Maybe that was a senior moment. I don't know, but
it's a lot of information you're in your head. Sorry.
Yeah. Sometimes it falls out, but Barbara, this is just one of the hundreds of references that I've got in this series. And by the way, as most people would, who studied this would know, the Jews have been kicked out of countries as a group over 1,000 times since the Christ. And the reason, of course, is they always form a nation within a nation. And this is brought out by our friend Dr. Doreen Day, who says she had a Jewish friend who was a surgeon, and she, just like she was, and he invited her to his house, and they were setting up all these tables. She asked, what's going on? Oh, we're having our monthly meeting with all the Jews in the community. And then she said, well, what's that all about? Well, that's where we talk about, what's good for us and what's good for Israel, And she says, this is going on in every community throughout America and the world. In other words, it is this group of people devoted to the idea of remaining separate and taking over the host country as a parasite.
It's the ultimate parasite. Yeah.
Yeah, and as psychopaths, and
absolutely.
And as pedophiles. I mean, there's four P's right there. We could make something with that. But we're all fooled. I'm 74. You say happy birthday, Jeff. I'm about to make another birthday pretty soon. But, you don't learn this stuff when you're kids. You have to live and you have to study.
No, you can't. Too many diversions, distractions. You can't. Hormones, you can't. You've got to be able to sit down and really think this through, let it percolate, come to your own decisions. But if you look at the facts and the reality of what we're talking about, there's only real one major decision you can come to. And we've been elaborating upon that in the last 45 minutes. It is what it is. It's not something you want or don't want or hate. It is what it is. And you've got to be mature enough to understand that.
Yeah, you have to follow the truth where it leads. It's like, gosh, I don't want to believe that because then I'll lose some money or I'll be uncomfortable or, it make me unhappy.
They won't talk to me anymore or whatever.
If you want to base your worldview on fairy tales and myths, Remember, the Apostle Paul said, beware of Jewish fables. I mean, and of course, he himself was a Pharisee, and then, of course, was struck by the lightning, Damascus, I believe, and had a conversion. Christ said, why are you persecuting me? And then he became the strongest of all the apostles. So, you know, theoretically, it is quite possible for a Jew to believe in Christ, and then in that point, they're Christian. But a Jew, as they are now, are Christ killers. They are Christ rejectors. They are the Antichrist people. And the Messiah that they're looking forward to and have been looking forward to for thousands of years is a kind of a military kind of guy who's going to kick ass and take over the world for them. And when Jesus Christ came, and, you know, the Pharisees consciously rejected him and said, we don't want that kind of Messiah. We don't want a Messiah who preaches love and forgiveness. We want power. And so, you know, this has levels of meaning there. But as we were saying, I mean, the data. Here's a quote from the Jew and High Mason Cremieux, founder and president of La Alliance Israélite Universelle, 1860, the net which Israel now casts over the terrestrial globe enlarges and extends. Our power is immense. Learn to turn that power to our cause. The day is not distant when all the riches, all the treasures of the world will become the property of the children of Israel. So, hey, it is great to be a Jew, right? All you got to do is, you know, kill all those pesky Amalek, which is what they're going to do if we don't, you know, intervene and put them in a mental institution where they should be. I mean, being Jewish, as far as I can see, is a highly dangerous mental condition. It's
very dangerous. Agreed.
It's massive delusion. It's a sex cult. It's a death cult. It's a racial superiority cult. It's belief in the Jewish male as God. And this is proven. I mean, Michael Hoffman has a 1,000-page book called Judaism Discovered, in which he goes through all the Talmud, which is like, I don't know, 36 books or something, which is, you know, the Talmud and the Kabbalah.
He's an incredible scholar, that man. He is really something. Yeah.
You know, he says this is a religion based on hatred. This is a religion based on worship of the Jewish male as God and racial supremacy. I mean, this is what it is. And if you want to believe, you know, that bunnies are flying across the sky because it makes you feel good, or you want to believe in whatever movie you're watching, this is the reality of our world. The reality of our world is we're very close to World War Armageddon, I think, you know. So it's
on the doorstep, no doubt.
Between good and evil. And who's evil? Well, the people that worship Satan are evil. That's who. And who do they hate the most? They hate Christians and Christ and God. Well, I would say Christ and God are good. I mean, Jesus came to save humanity, including the Jews. They crucified him. By the way, if you're a Christian, you have to go back to the Jesus' parable about the vineyard or the wicked tenants, which tells the whole story. I don't know if we have time. Do you know that? I can summarize it. Jesus
tells.
Go ahead.
We have about we can run about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll summarize it. It's in 3 of the Gospels, I believe, when Jesus says, "Okay, a man owned a vineyard, and he went away on a journey, and he left some people as tenants of the vineyard, and he said, okay, you know, give me a portion." Well, they didn't give him a portion. So he sent some of his representatives to talk to them. They killed them. Okay, that represents the prophets. Then he said, "Well, they'll negotiate with my son." Of course, that represents Jesus, and they killed him too. In other words, they knew that the son had the inheritance of the vineyard. They didn't want to share the inheritance. They wanted to keep the vineyard. So God made the earth. The Jews want to steal it for Satan, and that's. That's the war we're in. It's a spiritual war, and they will use every murder, deception, lies, graft, theft. It's a concerted effort by a Jewish collective with a hive mind connected, I believe, to the serpent that they worship, which is Satan, Lucifer. This is the reality we live in. The Luciferians are taking over, and all of these distractions are to keep us from understanding the bigger picture here. So I'd say get right with God, get on the right side of the spiritual war, and realize who your real enemy is. It could be that nice neighbor you've got that's Jewish, and they might be disguising themselves as a nice neighbor when really what they want is your property, or what they want is your country, or what they want is, you know, to remove you, just ethnic cleansing, just like they're doing in Gaza now. So I mean, what's happening in Gaza is so horrific, such a horrific genocide, and yet the West stands by, well, America stands by in the most shameful way. Of course, we're half of the problem. We're supplying the weapons and the support. But yeah, it is the Jews in America and the Jews in Israel that make the synagogue of Satan. Unfortunately, also the evangelical Christian Zionists, who comprise an important part of the synagogue of Satan.
Well, and maybe the most dumb and deceived of them all, 40, 50 million of them, I don't know how many. And look, there are some people who identify as being Jewish listening right now who are really extraordinarily good people. They get it, but they don't have a voice. They can't stand up and talk, many of them. They'll be ostracized beyond belief. So they have a right and wrong morality that we just don't hear about. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so I've spoken up, and now I'm a targeted individual. So let them.
Yeah.
I think right. The same thing will happen to them. I think you're right. I think there are some very honorable Jews that would like to speak up. But in general, the Jews do not condemn these things.
No, when the bell rings, 90 to 95% of Jews will answer, and they'll stand right cheek by jowl with the Orthodox, and it's not good.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this solidarity in this race or whatever it is, whether there be right. Ashkenazi or Sephardim or whatever. Right. This is our enemy. And I say that, you know, just as a matter of fact, it's like if America doesn't.
Well, you're right. If that enemy were removed, this would be an extraordinary planet. And that's the truth. And I want to say one thing before we run out of time. Tex Mars would be very proud of your ability to articulate and elucidate upon this factual data. It's fact. So good job.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Well, I appreciate having the opportunity to speak these difficult truths. And by the way, anti-Semitism is another ploy, as well as conspiracy.
Oh, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Nothing.
We're talking about. It's just a way to stop thought, make people afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for your country. Stand up for your world. Stand up for your family. Stand up for yourself. You know, Israelis are going to kill us. The Jews are going to kill us.
Yeah. You must never be afraid to ask the right questions. If you don't ask the right questions, you're out of the game. You don't get it. You don't get it. Thank you, Eric. That was really an extraordinary hour. Very well done, indeed.
Thanks so much, Jeff. All best, and hang in there, my friend.
Yeah, will do. And happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
All right. Professor Eric Carlstrom, emeritus, and that was a lot of information, very important information. Back in 21 hours. See you then.